You have been told forgiveness is a gift that you give other people, that it's the Christian thing to do, that holding on makes you bitter and letting go makes you free. And you've probably nodded along, maybe said it to yourself. I'm sure there's even a part of you that believed it right up until the moment someone actually asked you to do it for real. Like, not the concept, the actual thing. Forgiving the parent who never showed up, the person who took something from you that you can't get back, the version of yourself that kept choosing wrong. That's when the sermon gets really quiet and the platitudes run out. Here's what nobody is saying out loud. Forgiveness might be the hardest rebellion in this entire season because it costs you something, not the other person, you. And if you are like me and you have that neurospicy brain, and it's already carrying the weight of 1,000 unprocessed moments, already wired to loop, replay, feel everything twice. Forgiveness isn't a decision you make once. It's a war you fight in your own nervous system, on your own timeline, with no applause and no audience. But this is the thing about staying unforgiving. It's not free either. Like, you're not protecting yourself. You're just paying rent to someone who doesn't even know they're living in your head. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast. I am Brandon Lynette. In case you're new here, this is the rebellion season. And today I'm going a place that a lot of people won't. And it's not because they don't need it, because it's uncomfortable in a way that doesn't come with a quick fix or a satisfying call out. Forgiveness doesn't trend. It doesn't make a good rage post. It doesn't get the likes. It might be the single most powerful thing that you do this year, and maybe the most misunderstood. And if you guys have not been connected with me, I coach people, especially if you have a neurospicy brain, to help you step into your God-given potential by taking radical responsibility for your lives, not by becoming perfect. We're not going to perform like a circus monkey, but by actually doing the hard thing, which sometimes looks quiet and unglamorous and unsexy and absolutely nothing like what the highlight reel told you growth was supposed to look like. Okay. Quick note before we get in deep. Okay. Listen Bitch Podcast is actively looking for sponsors this season, not just anyone with a checkbook. Okay. But brands that genuinely align with integrity, health, sovereignty, truth. If that's you, or if you know someone, okay, please reach out. Let's get into it today. Talking about forgiveness, the real kind, not the kind that you perform for approval. But there is one thing to be grounded in, okay? Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation, okay? Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. The church has done a number on people with this one, or I guess it's not even the church. It's the walking Christians, the everyday guy. Somewhere along the way, forgiveness got fused with like pretending nothing happened, okay? Staying in the room, keeping the relationship, acting like everything's fine. All in the name of being a good Christian. And if you've been burned by that version of forgiveness, I understand why you want nothing to do with it. First time I ever had to really forgive someone for something really hard. It was actually on my knees at the church in front of, a preacher who was like, "You have to forgive." And I genuinely didn't want everything to implode, but I didn't have a choice. But that's not what forgiveness actually is, okay? Forgiveness is an internal act of releasing someone from the debt that you've been holding. And it's not because they deserve it, not because what they did was okay, and not because you owe it to them. You do it because carrying that debt is costing you. It's costing you clarity, it's costing you energy, it's costing you peace, it's costing you access to your own future. And if your brain is like mine, okay, extra neurospicy, unforgiveness is a loop. It's a whole loop, and it ingrains in that default mode network. Your brain is literally wired to return to unresolved emotional events. It's called rumination, okay? It is not a character flaw. It is a neurological pattern. That person who hurt you doesn't have to be in the room for you to keep having the fight. Your brain runs this simulation on autopilot. And every time it does, your nervous system responds like it's happening right now. Your body doesn't know it's a memory, it just knows that this is a threat. Forgiveness, at its most practical level, is the thing that breaks the loop. And it's not instant, it's not perfect, but it's the only exit that actually leads somewhere new. And there is a psychological trap. A lot of people don't want to forgive, and they have very good reasons. The wound is real, the damage, real. The person may never apologize, and in the absence of accountability, forgiveness can feel like you're letting them off the hook. Like you're minimizing what happened, like you're betraying yourself. And that's the trap. Because what you're actually doing when you hold on to unforgiveness isn't holding the other person accountable. They're not sitting somewhere feeling the weight of your resentment. You are every single day. And the most uncomfortable layer is that some people have built an entire identity around what was done to them. And it's not because you're a weak person if you've done this, but it's because it made sense at the time. When something devastating happens, especially early in life, building your identity around the wound is a survival strategy. It explains why things went wrong. It provides a framework for the world. It keeps you from having to take risks because the story's already written. You're the one that bad things happen to. The victim identity isn't the same as being a victim. Something real may have happened to you, but at a certain point, the identity stops protecting you. And then what it's going to do is start limiting you. It becomes the ceiling you keep bumping your head on. And your God-given calling can't fully land in a life that's already spoken for by this old story. This is where approval addiction shows up, too. If you forgive, what will people think? The ones who watched what happened to you, the ones who validated your pain, the ones who agreed that what was done to you was wrong. Forgiving can feel like betraying your own narrative. Like the people in your corner will think you're soft or you're saying it wasn't that bad. So you hold on partly because letting go feels like losing something special. And if your brain is running on connection and approval, that's a high price. It's a real cost. But staying unforgiven to keep the approval of people watching your wound is one of the most expensive things you can do with your life. And this is going to show up. It shows up when you keep replaying the conversation, not to learn from it, but to feel righteous about it. When you catch yourself hoping they fail. When you can't hear the name without your chest getting tight, when the thing that happened years ago is still the reason you give for why you haven't moved forward yet. And it shows up in your calling, the business you haven't started because someone told you that you weren't capable, the voice you've been silencing because someone once made you feel like it was too much, the leadership you've been shrinking from because someone in authority abused theirs and you decided it's just so much safer to stay small. It shows up in your faith. And this is the part that's going to cost you the most, especially if you grew up in that religious environment. You use that forgiveness as a control mechanism. Forgive them as a way of keeping you compliant. Turn the other cheek as a way of keeping you quiet. If that is your history, the word forgiveness itself probably feels like a trap. And that's worth naming because healing that distortion is its own work. It shows up in how you parent, what you're modeling when you hold grudges, what your kids are absorbing about how to handle pain, what patterns are getting passed down, not because you meant to pass them on, but you never interrupted them. Your calling is on the other side of this. That is not a metaphor. The specific version of you that steps fully into what God has for you, the clarity, the courage, the capacity, it lives past this, not around it, but through it. That performative forgiveness, saying the words and not doing the work, that doesn't get you there. You can say you've forgiven someone in from here until the end of time and still be running the loop. You could still be shaped by the wound, still be building your life around the thing that you're trying to release. The performance is for other people. The real work is yours alone, and I assure you, God sees the difference. For those neurospicy brains out there specifically, oh, I love you guys so much. This work is not linear, and it's not fast. You may forgive, and then you find yourself back in the loop 3 weeks later, and that doesn't mean you failed. I struggled with that. I struggled with knowing, how much my mom has hurt me, but like at the same time I hold space because I'm so happy and I understand and I love her and I forgive her and I get it. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. But it still comes back and takes my breath away so many times, but that doesn't mean I failed. It just means that forgiveness is a practice, and this has been years, okay? Like 40 years of going through this, you guys. It's practice. It's not just a one-time event. Every time you catch the loop and you choose not to feed it, that's the work. Every time you feel the pull towards the old story and decide not to live there today, that bitch, that's the rebellion. You just have to start with one name, just one, not the whole list, just one person, one wound, one place where you've been carrying a debt that's costing you more than it's costing them. And you don't even have to say it to them. You don't have to reach out. This is between you and God. Write it out, what they did, what it cost you, what you've been carrying. And then this is the hard part. Write down what holding it is costing your future. Make the trade visible. Make it visible. And this isn't to minimize it, it's to decide whether it's worth it going forward. And then And this really matters. You have to keep your word to yourself about it because your brain is going to bring it back. The loop will start again. And when it does, you don't white knuckle it away. You notice it, you name it, you redirect. That's the old story. I've decided not to live there. That's not denial, that's discipline. And every time you do it, you're literally rewiring the neural pathway. That is neuroplasticity working for you instead of against you. And it is the greatest, one of the greatest gifts I think that God has given us is neuroplasticity. This season is about becoming the kind of person you can respect. And you cannot fully become that person while you're still letting someone else's actions write the story of your life. If this episode hits you somewhere, and you could tangibly feel this, do something that people will never do when something actually matters. Like the show, subscribe, leave your girl a written review. It helps more than you think. It takes less than 2 minutes, and it helps the right person find the show. I need your help. And make sure you head over to brandonlynette.com. Get on my list. Check out my YouTube channel, okay? Watch the full video because seeing it does hit different than just hearing it. The rebellion is internal before it's external. And this here, this is some of the most internal work there is, okay? Let's go, bitch.